United States is the only industrialized nation with an increasing rate of maternal mortality, and that problem hits women of color and women in underserved areas particularly.
Welcome to the Washing Tech Policy Podcast.
The latest tech law and policy news and brightest tech law and policy experts wherever you are.
So you can stay informed on the move in less time.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Washington Tech Policy Podcast.
With Joe Miller.
Joe Miller.
Mark Zuckerberg says his new content policies are likely to make a lot of people unhappy. What will the new policies say, and how will they differ from what they have now? Also, a new study takes a look at pretrial risk assessment tools, and Lisi Docanto is my guest. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg continues his crusade to be the standard bearer of free speech, even if his company's policies, quote, piss a lot of people off. End quotes, his own words. Zuckerberg told CNN that he plans to draw a line in the sand when it comes to censorship, as he thinks Facebook is taking on too much of that responsibility. He says that the company will continue to remove the most harmful content and also discussed plans to ramp up encryption on Facebook's messaging service. Zuckerberg has remained steadfast in maintaining Facebook's policy of leaving up false statements by politicians in their ads. Turning now to the criminal justice system. As you know, when someone's arrested, the court needs to determine whether they're likely to flee the jurisdiction or be a threat to public safety while they're awaiting trial. So judges need to decide whether to hold these defendants or allow them to be released on bail. And even if they're granted bail, the extent to which they will be supervised while they're awaiting their court date depends on what's uncovered during what's called a pretrial assessment. Historically, courts conduct these assessments partially on factors like criminal history, but more so on subjective factors which have led to racial disparities in the justice system. Courts have begun to rely more and more on what are called pretrial assessment tools, standardized algorithms to supposedly replace subjective assessment factors. Advocates for using these platforms argue that they will alleviate some of the disparities caused by conducting pretrial assessments without them. But according to a new study, these algorithms are leading to harsher pretrial conditions for defendants. A new study from the Human Rights Data Analysis Group and San Francisco Public Defender's Office found that this lies in the fact that many arrests lead to acquittals. Despite the fact that these prior arrests resulted in acquittals, they're still going into the database. So even though defendants are constitutionally assured of a presumption of innocence, by including these biased algorithms, courts have introduced past arrests, even when there was no conviction, to factor into the algorithms. But according to the study, the use of these prior acquittals has actually led to higher levels of pretrial supervision. In fact, courts recommended a higher level of pretrial supervision in 27% of cases the study looked at that incorporated prior arrest data in these standardized assessment tools. The American Civil Liberties Union is pushing back against legislation in Puerto Rico that aims to bring voting fully online by 2028. The ACLU is asking Puerto Rico's Governor Wanda Vasquez to veto the bill after it passes the Legislative Assembly of Puerto Rico, which is expected to happen this week. Lawyers for the century-old advocacy organization argue that the plan is extremely susceptible to hacks and poses significant cybersecurity risks that threaten to undermine Puerto Ricans' trust in the government. The House Oversight Committee's Subcommittee on Economic and Consumer Policy launched an investigation into dating platforms' failure to prevent underage users from signing up. Members of the subcommittee wrote Bumble, Grindr, the Meet Group, the Match Group, Tinder, and OkCupid seeking documents pertaining to any policies they have in place to prevent underage users pretending that they're over 18 and sex offenders from lurking on the platforms. The documents are due to the subcommittee by February 13th. Finally, Bloomberg reports that in the midst of the opioid crisis between 2016 and 2019, electronic health records company Practice Fusion pushed alerts encouraging opioid treatment on 230 million separate occasions. A Vermont federal judge says the company has agreed to pay $145 million in civil and criminal damages. And you can find links to all of these stories in the show notes. Stay with us.
exclusive voice of tech policy. Watching Tech. We see you.
What? This is the beat they gave me this week. Thank you. My guest today is Lisi Docanto, Managing Director of BCW Healthcare in the firm's Public Affairs and Crisis Practice, where he leads policy and public affairs strategy for the firm's healthcare clients in North America. He also oversees the BCW Healthcare team in Washington, D.C. Before joining BCW, Lisi built and led a nationally recognized strategic public affairs and communications firm, served as health practice chair and principal at the Raven Group, was the chief executive officer for the AIDS Alliance for Children, Youth, and Families. Prior to joining the private sector, he worked for Senator Edward Kennedy, Representative Barney Frank, and he holds a graduate degree from Duke and a certificate in public health leadership from UNC. Lisi Docanto.
Great to be with you, Joe. Thank you.
The Centers for Disease Control reports that severe maternal morbidity affects some 50,000 American women each year. A bill was introduced in the House that would require the Federal Communications Commission to map areas where a lack of access to broadband and maternal morbidity overlap. But let's start with you telling us a bit more about your organization, Lisi, and then tell us about some of the disparities that led to this bill and how it came to be.
Thank you. Burson Cone Wolf, commonly known as BCW Global, is one of the largest global communications firms in the world. Merged from two firms, Burson Cone and Cone Wolf, a couple years ago. I sit in the Washington, D.C. office and oversee our healthcare policy team there and lead our healthcare policy work for clients across North America. The firm is in over 100 countries. We have more than 200 offices and more than 4,000 people. And we work with a constellation of clients from around the globe, many of which are in healthcare. And for us and our clients, the issue of that we're talking about today is particularly important. Giving birth is hard work. And you and I both have children and we can attest to that process. The United States is the only industrialized nation with an increasing rate of maternal mortality, and that problem hits women of color and women in underserved areas particularly. When you give birth, it's even harder to meet these individual visits with a healthcare professional to monitor everything from blood pressure to blood sugar. Making these routine appointments, as you know, requires travel and time off work and so on. That's especially difficult for women in rural parts of the country. Over half of rural counties don't have a hospital with a maternity ward. And now we have more than 5 million women, according to recent research, that now live in what's called maternity care deserts, which means that they have no facilities offering obstetric care. This is 2020, Joe, and any woman in this country ought not to die in the process of giving birth. And what this bill would do is require the Federal Communications Commission to develop data exploring the connection between broadband deployment and access to maternal care. Essentially, it would help the FCC map areas in the U.S. that have both internet service gaps and high rates of poor maternal health outcomes. It is something that, as your listeners may or may not know, that the FCC has already done by mapping out the incidence of diabetes in the presence of internet service. And so what the bill ultimately would try to do is create a picture of where maternal mortality rates are especially high and then where critical telehealth resources need to be deployed.
So what are the particular ways that technology can help address these outcomes?
Technology can help in a big way. For example, back in 1996, Congress passed a law that charged the FCC in providing support to rural healthcare centers to help them assist with the cost of communications used to offer medical care. What we know since then is that healthcare providers in some of these most remote areas of the country use this information and count on the FCC to be able to stay connected to a range of medical services and get that timely expertise and specialists at a distance. We also know that there's a number of of measures that have been introduced in Congress. Most recently, another bipartisan initiative called the Rural Moms Act, both introduced in both the House and the Senate, would expand initiatives to try to address maternal health in remote areas, not only for training for those who are seeking to go into OBGYN services in rural communities, but also funding to increase access to technology for pregnancy care and the additional data collection and reporting of maternal mortality.
So, Lisi, where's the FCC going to get this data? Is it something that's going to cost a lot of money?
The FCC already is obtaining this data in a variety of ways. They are right now collecting data and creating maps from their work in diabetes, and mapping out specifically the incidence of diabetes in the presence of internet service. That is, you can go on to the FCC site now and pull up the maps that they have that show where there's the greatest incidence of diabetes and where there is very low presence of internet service. In that particular effort, like what is being proposed here through this Data Mapping to Save Moms Lives Act, is to use the data to then inform decision-making, collaborations, public-private partnerships. And so this is something that the FCC already does particularly well and has this data. And it's an important step in having additional data to show how we can leverage technology in the most targeted and effective ways, especially in rural and underserved areas.
We're going to take a break and hear more from you here in just a sec. Stay with us. Are you seeing bipartisan support for this bill? Has there been pushback? How have the discussions about this bill evolved?
Well, this bill was just recently introduced at the start of the year by Democratic Senators Jackie Rosen from Nevada and Brian Schultz of Hawaii, together with their colleagues, Senator Fisher, Deb Fisher of Nebraska, and Senator Todd Young of Indiana. Very powerful group of senators, bipartisan, who are leading this charge, which I think says a lot about it. I understand that already there are a number of organizations, including the American College of OBGYNs, who, among others, who are supporting it. And so I think it has a great opportunity to continue to gather momentum and interest. And again, the issue of maternal mortality is one that Congress has been working on for a long time now, and there are a number of other examples that helped inform this bill and other bills like it. For example, at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, they are exploring how expecting mothers could use wireless connected care technology at home to communicate the critical healthcare measurements to their providers. That we know is already helping to produce some very terrific results. And I think efforts like the Data Mapping to Save Moms Lives Act and a number of other measures that Congress are pushing will help contribute to addressing this very serious issue in the United States.
So what can the public do to support this legislation?
The public, to learn more, can reach out to those senators' offices to gather more information. They can go on to the FCC's website. They also can read an article in Time magazine from FCC Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel that was published in late fall of last year, which was the inspiration for this Data Mapping to Save Moms Lives Act. And I think using that information to help inform themselves and know how they can get involved and raise awareness, I think that would be an important step for the public to help to make sure that these kind of innovative efforts that our nation's policymakers are working on, inspired by what's happening in the private and public space, are important to elevate and hopefully drive meaningful action toward.
Well, thanks, Lisi, for joining me. You know, like you said, we're both parents, so, you know, we want the best for our spouses, our significant others, when they have children, we want them to be healthy. So thanks for shedding light on this. And for the members of Congress who are listening and supporting this bill, thank you for your leadership here. Final ideas.
Get involved. Tell your stories about how your pregnancy may have been impacted, the challenges that you may have had, or those of your loved ones or friends. It's important to continue to tell the story of how important it is to ensure that in this time and age, in 2020, that no woman in this country should ever fear the risk of giving birth because they believe that they're going to die from that. You can also reach out to me at Docanto Lisi on Twitter and connect with me on LinkedIn, or check out the BCW homepage to learn more about what BCW does and our work in healthcare and the health system, if you will, and also continue the conversation with me and tell me what you think about this issue of maternal mortality in rural areas, and what you think, what else we can do.
And you've been listening to Lisi Docanto, Executive Vice President, Managing Director of Public Affairs and Crisis at Burson, Cohen & Wolf. Lisi, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much.
That concludes episode 218 of the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what we do, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a shout. Give it a review over at Apple Podcasts. Leave a review. Let others know what you think. It helps us out. Mark your calendars now, March 25th. We're having our first annual conference at New York University's DC campus. All-day conference. Be there. We're going to be talking about cybersecurity. We're going to be talking about criminal justice. We'll talk about intellectual property, media, lots of stuff. So register now, and you can find the registration page at washingtech.com. So go there now. Register now. Tickets are going super fast, so you're going to want to get in ahead of time. It's February. You got plenty of time, but I'm going to get in there now and lock them in. Again, washingtech.com. Well, thanks for listening, and I'll see you back here, as always, next week. Take care.
Washing Tech.